B-Pod Studios.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
But yesterday we checked in on the Flyers and the NHL. Today we check in on Major League Baseball. And there's no one in the country better to talk about Major League Baseball than this man, Mr. Jason Stark. Currently doing a lot of great work for The Athletic, the Hall of Famer. You're on the Comcast Business Hotline. How are you doing today, Jason?
Tyrone, I'm good, man. It's almost baseball season.
I mean, pitchers and catchers.
We're gonna have the Super Bowl first, but
yeah, almost. But no, the Phillies pitchers and catchers report the Thursday after the Super Bowl. It's unbelievable how close this is. And with that in mind, though, Jason, there's one thing that's been going on where you're literally the best person to talk about it, because when Scott Rowland went into the Hall of Fame, and we've been talking about Hall of Famers today, I literally found an article that you, an interview you did with him in 2002 after he had requested to trade him for whatever reason. Ed Wade didn't trade him in the offseason, brings him back to spring training, and then ended up trading him in during the season. So my first question with that in mind, since you have a wealth of knowledge that none of us, maybe Ricky knows some things, but you having the one-on-one things with him, the perception with some fans when he got in was some people happy, other people, I hate that guy, he hated Philadelphia, I boo him. What's the right take when it comes to Scott Rowland and the city of Philadelphia?
Well, I would love to hear Ricky's take, let me go through this as I see it, as I saw it. And, you know, I spent all last week in Cooperstown, so I wasn't here to hear what people thought when Scott Rowland got elected. It's just fascinating to me, Tyrone, the difference between perception and reality with this guy. You know, I got back to town, and I'll be honest, I was, like, actually amused to hear this whole line of thinking that he wasn't that good a player. He was a bad guy. He was bad for people like us to deal with. He hated Philadelphia. He was a bad teammate. You want to take those things one at a time? I'm happy to.
Well, right. How about we take the first one of the fan perception? Because there's a lot of fans out there that think that Scott Rowland hated Philadelphia fans.
Okay. I would put it this way. He came along at a time when the franchise was brutally bad. And I felt like he wanted what the fans in Philadelphia wanted. You know, he wanted to win. He wanted them to commit to winning. He wanted them to spend money to win. He wanted them to show him what was their plan, what was their path to winning, having better players around them. That is not how it went, though. I've been here a long time. I have seen people rally around players who fought for those things. But the Phillies found a way to paint him as the bad guy in all this. And I think it also contributed that Scott had real issues with Larry Boa, who is just so beloved in this town, and we understand why. But because of that, Scott was in a position where almost nobody was siding with him, and he knew it. And, you know, one thing about Scott Rowland was, and is, he took no crap, and he takes no crap from anybody. And because of that side of his personality, I felt like it just caused all of it to escalate. You know, it just got ugly at the time. My question, coming back into it now 20 years later, why does it have to continue to be ugly? He and the Phillies have turned that page. They've turned it. He's turned it. They've talked this winter. If you've listened to Scott, he's been profusely thanking people like John Vukovich for turning him into the player he became. So my request would be, whatever people thought happened 20 years ago, let it go. It's not like the Phillies are developing 12 Hall of Famers a year. If I'm calculating this right in my head, in the last 50 years or so, they produced 3 Hall of Famers. One's Mike Schmidt. One is Ryan Sandberg, who got, 6 at-bats, I think, for the Phillies. And the third is Scott Rowland. So I know Scott wants to turn that page. Is it impossible for Philadelphia to turn it?
In my opinion, look, I'm going to take it from a player's opinion, first of all, Jason. And I will tell you, I thought Scott was an incredible baseball player. And even going further than that, he was a really good teammate. I think his issue was with the organization, not the fan base,
right,
and not the city. I know he wanted to go back to the Midwest. I don't think that's really saying, I hate you, Philadelphia. I think that's saying, you know what, I want to go home type thing. But in my opinion, I think Scott put up numbers. I think Scott saved a lot of pitchers, a lot of runs in his career. And, I mean, quite frankly, I was lucky enough to have him and Jimmy Rollins on one side of my infield. Think about that for a second.
It's amazing any ball ever got through.
And I think if you talk to any player, they'll tell you the same thing.
Yeah, the players who I know from that team feel the same way. I've heard from a bunch of them since he got elected. You know, the funny thing, Rick, is I feel like he should have been Philadelphia's kind of player. You know, he's one of the greatest defensive third basemen who ever played baseball. He was a way better hitter than people have convinced themselves that he was. He was unanimous Rookie of the Year. He made 5 All-Star teams in a row. He won 6 Gold Gloves in a row. He was by far the best defensive third baseman alive. He played hard every day. He ran the bases harder than anyone on the field. He actually could have functioned fine in Philadelphia if the contract clock wasn't starting to run out and all these forces were swirling around him at the same time. Don't you wonder how different everything would have been if he says yes, he signs that contract, and then the Phillies grow into what happened in 2008 with him at third and Rollins at short and Utley at second and Howard at first? Oh, my God.
Pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, that would be incredible.
But
the best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
But let me just add, I mean, the players the Phillies were adding at that time were like players like Greg Jeffries. Am I correct in that?
That happened in his time.
Yeah.
Right before his time.
Yeah, but to me, it was like, okay, you're adding Greg Jeffries. He could swing it a little bit, but he doesn't have a position.
Yeah. You know, Scott would never say anything about the hodgepodge of players that were put around him, but he was well aware of that part of it.
Oh, he sucked.
Yeah, well, and since your name was mentioned, I got to ask, how do you think Jimmy holds up with the bouts?
Yeah, that's going to be a really interesting question, Hunter. I think it's going to be very cool that Jimmy and Chase Utley will now be on the ballot together next year. You know, I talk all the time about how they were kind of the Alan Trammell and Lou Whitaker of their time and place and league. And Trammell and Whitaker were never on the ballot together. I wonder if the fact that they're on at the same time, they somehow help bring perspective to how good they were as a tandem. Because other than Whitaker and Trammell, no double play combination in modern times played as many seasons together as they did. And there's a reason that teams let you do that, especially when you're finishing first 5 years in a row. I mean, that's a claim to historic greatness. And while both those guys have reasons not to vote for them, I voted for Jimmy. More and more, I feel like I'm going to vote for Chase just because of the way that the definition of a modern Hall of Famer has changed. And it's going to be really fascinating to see who gets more votes next year.
All right, let's come back to now. How's that sound?
Sure.
All right, let's go to the NL East. Have the Phillies done enough? Done enough right now in the offseason to be the beasts of the NL East?
It's a loaded question.
Because I figured it would be.
I feel like they've had a really good offseason, but I would not pick them to win the division. The division's going to be awesome. The Phillies could win it. They could still win the World Series, but if I think it through, I feel like the Braves are younger for sure, deeper probably, and still on the rise. The Mets are loaded. The owner has a gazillion dollars. Their pitching staff, if everybody's healthy, could be terrifying. And then where are the Phillies? I think they're certainly better than last year. They're deeper than last year. Probably they're better and deeper than at any time since 2011. But here would be my reservation. If you think about how they got to that World Series, some things in life are just hard to replicate. The Magic Act would be hard to replicate. 70 to 80 games without Bryce Harper. Are they going to win 60-something percent of their games without him again like they did last year? That feels like that's a lot to ask. The other thing that I would say I'm particularly interested in watching as spring training goes along is they had to push their best pitchers all the way to November 5th, and that takes a toll. I know we all watch the World Series. Nola and Wheeler were gassed by the end. Now, you give them one less month to recover, crank it back up. I don't know. I mean, it's just a lot of tales of World Series teams who have shown us in recent years that hangover is real. It's just something to watch carefully, that's all. Those would be my reservations. On paper, best team here in a long time, one of the best in the sport.
Well, Jason, a lot of interesting things going on. The Scott Rowland thing is going to be fascinating this summer because there will be fans that give him a standing ovation. But I do know there will be some people there at the same time who will be at best silent. It's going to be fascinating. Like, usually when a guy goes in the Hall of Fame, we were talking about it's 100% cheer. In this case, I know it's not going to be 100% cheer. I just hope that whatever he ends up saying locally to the media, maybe ahead of time, maybe he just says, these fans just want something from him. And what it is, I don't know. But I think if he would say, like, you know, I love these fans, all they wanted to do a win, if he just said that in real time, I think that would make a lot of fans feel better about 20 years ago.
Yeah, you know what? I actually think, Tyrone, that's exactly what he's going to say. The last thing Scott wants to do is relive 2002.
Yeah.
I know that for a fact. Mm-hmm. And I think we, you know, our part in this should be to say, let's get over this. But he's going to have to do exactly what you just said. He has to take that big step toward them, too.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Well, thanks so much for the time, Jason. We're getting close, like you just said, and we look forward to hopefully talking to you all baseball season long once again.
Awesome, Tyrone. Thanks, Ben.
All right, thanks so much. That was Jason Stark on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.